This episode sponsored by IPVanish. IPVanish protects every device you own, your phone, your laptop, your smart TV. If it connects to the internet, it should be protected. IPVanish encrypts your connection and masks your IP address, helping keep your browsing private at home and on public Wi-Fi. Stream with added privacy. Browse securely. Connect with confidence. Right now, save 83% off the 2-year plan. Get started today at ipvanish.com/audio. And take control of your privacy with IPVanish.
I know how intimidating beekeeping can be, especially in those first couple of years, and not knowing what you need, what to do, or where to find help can be downright scary. That's why I created the AI-assisted Beekeeping for Newbies mobile app to be right there with you as you start your beekeeping journey. Loaded up with checklists, guides, and one of my favorites, a bunch of queen bee photos to help you get better at locating them during inspections. I created this app to provide you with a single source to help jumpstart your learning and make you a better beekeeper. Go to studio.com/beekeeper. That's studio.com/beekeeper to take advantage of a limited time 20% off launch special. Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you very, very much for being here. I certainly appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out, Jeff, at beekeepingfornewbies.com. That's NEWBEES.com. Today, we are in Varroa Week, and today we're talking about the treatment options. But before we do anything, I really need to send a big thank you out there to Aaron and Amanda, who won the weekly prize for the Buy Me a Coffee contributions. Thank you, ladies. I most certainly appreciate you. And a hearty thank you to Jay, Scott in Arizona. Well, that was Jay in Indiana, by the way. Scott in Arizona, Scott from Colorado, Michelle, Joe, Tony, Mike from Texas, Mike from Wisconsin, David, Sherry, Deb, Z-Man, and Craig. Oh, and I left Andrew off that list there. And everyone else who has generously supported the mission over the past several years and helps to keep the dream alive. Thank you to all of you. As I went through the list to make sure I got everybody, and hopefully I did. If I did not, please let me know. But I was looking through some of the names of people of years past. At some point in the future, I'm going to go ahead and just run through everybody and just make sure we acknowledge everybody past and present, because it makes a big difference and I really do appreciate you. And in an unrelated story, I have officially postponed the plasma donations for the rest of the month, so I'm not going to be doing that. Thanks for getting me out of a couple jams there, guys. And don't forget, the entire month of April, all donations over $1,000 will receive a 10-pack of commemorative Bic ballpoint pens in your choice of blue or black while supplies last. But seriously, if I missed you, make sure you let me know. All right, on a brief note that is not me being silly, I wanted to kind of remind everybody this, you know, the same thing happened a couple of months ago. But I want to make sure that you know, I don't have direct control over individual ads on the platform. I think that most people who know me can kind of get a pretty good idea about my opinions on things and, you know, the way I kind of view the country and the world. But I really make every effort to keep those feelings, you know, to myself, because they don't really have a place in the bee world. And they're just not productive to us having fun and doing what we want to do. I do have the ability to control certain categories, but when they list them in my settings, they don't list them in an obvious way. For example, they don't say abortion ads. They just say pregnancy. So as a father of a beautiful young lady who's about to give birth to my grandson in 4 weeks, you can probably ascertain that I'm pretty happy about things, but I really don't want that debate kind of thing to go on here in any capacity, whether you're for it or against it. Not my thing. Anybody else who wants to argue about it, by all means, have at it. But if you hear an ad like that, anything that is polarizing, if it is something that is an active topic in politics today, because in my opinion, politics exists for one reason, and that's to divide the people so that they can't focus on the people who are the real problem. So if you hear something like that that is obviously polarizing, please let me know. Just shoot me an email and say, hey, man, I heard this ad. Really not super cool, and I can address it. So I went in today and I was browsing around, and like I said, there was a category that just said pregnancy. So to me, I just thought pregnancy meant like we're talking about women's health and we're going through, you know, talking about how important it is to take prenatal vitamins or whatever it might be. Make sure you go see a doctor to get the head measured and those kinds of things. I don't have a dog in the fight, man. I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody. I don't go through and pick and choose. So again, I excluded the category. And I hope that that addresses that issue. I mean, I don't even make enough money from that ad revenue to pay my electric bill. So it's not like I'm just, you know, all this major cash is pouring in from all of my big abortion ads. So just let me know. I'm happy to take those things off. Okay, so as we continue with Varroa week, Monday was the overview. Tuesday, we got into reproduction, talked about a little bit of drone preference. Yesterday, we got into and discussed how to test and confirm whether you have a mite problem. Today, we're talking about the products you are likely to see on the market and a few things you're going to need to consider when choosing each one. Some of them have some very specific rules about when you use them, how you use them, some temperature ranges, things like that. Now, we're not going to really dive deep into each and every one of them because, frankly, each one of them, I think, can turn into a full episode by itself. But what we're going to do is we're going to go through some of the more popular options that I get asked about, things that I hear about the most. And I'll talk to you about what the kind of, I guess we would call it sort of like the common name and then common products that are in that category. And then we'll talk basically about administration and then whether or not it is safe or not to treat with honey supers. And that'll kind of be about the extent of it, maybe a couple of cautionary notes. But we're not going to dive in too deep, just kind of give you a heads up and some ideas of things that are out there. If you need specific guidance on something, reach out to me, join the Discord room, talk to us over there. When I say join, it's free. It's not like you got to pay for it. Just, you know, show up, make a few clicks and you are in. And then at the end here, I will tell you the two things that I'm using. I'll tell you why I use them and what some of my rationale is for those choices. But first, let's talk about yesterday's hive inspection. So the colony of the day is going to be colony number 63. This is a first season colony from the 30 April Package B group. They reside in an 8-frame Beecastle Langstroth hive. Be sure to check out Beecastle using the link in this episode notes. Beecastle, making your bee dreams come true. Actually, I kind of made that up. They don't make your bee dreams come true, but I do have an affiliate link in there. If you buy anything through Beecastle, I do get a couple of dollars on that. We had an outside temp of 80 Fahrenheit, around 27 Celsius. Winds were light around 5 to 7 miles out of the west, partly cloudy, mix of sun and clouds. Now, for those of you who've been following things prior to this week, you may recall the story of the guy who works in my apiary, who decided that it would be a good idea to keep the cork over the sugar plug in the queen cage. I guess he thought that would be funny in some way. Well, now that queen has been free for about 10 days, and I'm happy to report that all of the previously prepared laying space for her is full. I do have a little bit of the brood capped now, lots of open brood, and I got a little lucky because I had an idea of what frame she might be on based on what I could see kind of from the top, and sure enough, it was a lucky first pull. She was right there in the middle on the most recent frame of comb that they were actively drawing out. She was about 3 times the size she was the last time I saw her. She was calm, cool, collected. So I'm very excited for them. And like I said, she was huge. I was really pleased to see her. I wanted to get a picture, but again, I'm not smoking them right now. This is all part of that last group that is, you know, not getting smoked. But as they are starting to get a bit more testy with me, I'm going to obviously make the switch, but I didn't want to have things open too long and have the brood exposed and have her sitting there on that frame. So I just gently slid the frame back in, took a quick look at everything else that's there and continued on. Now, I also wanted to kind of see how they would respond to the gray sweatpants, recognizing that they usually don't like the darker colors near the entrance as it could be interpreted as a predator. They did fly by my legs a little bit, sort of curiously circling me, but no stings. I still think that I am better off with my Carhartt pants or the Carhartt overalls and boots. It's a thicker material. It's more protective. It's a lighter color. It's good for working outside all day, especially when you're in any kind of agriculture. But on the boot subject, I really do need to reconsider this sandal thing that I have going. I like having my feet free and not stuck inside of a shoe. But someday my luck is going to run out. I mean, I'm going to be out there and I'm going to say something to you guys like, oh, I've worn them on every inspection I've done this season and I haven't been stung once. And then I'll get like 5 or 6 on each foot or ankle and I won't be able to walk for 3 or 4 days. But anyway, the feeder was empty, but I did notice a little bit of some brace comb coming off the adjacent frame and it was connecting to the feeder. So I just made a note of that. The feeder's empty. I'm not going to refill it. And we're going to remove that on the next inspection. I kind of have been out there not really gearing up. My face is always protected. I don't play around with that, but I haven't been putting on a lot of gear. Like I said, I'm in sweatpants. I'm in sandals. And I'm trying not to get them too upset. And I know that when I start pulling that frame out, it's going to be just like the ones the other day. It does not have any brood on it, but there is some connectivity to the adjacent frame that has a lot of honey. And I'm just going to wait. I'm bringing in some deep boxes probably within the next 3 or 4 days. So all of next week's inspections, they're going to be making full upgrades. I'm probably going to keep a couple of them in nukes and just do some stacking just for fun. But for the most part, I think everybody's going to go to larger, deep hive bodies. Again, we'll get you updated on that and let you know how that goes. They were also drawing some comb up towards the hole within the inner cover. I noticed they kind of extended it off of the top, but they are using the frames. So when I first saw that, as I was opening the outer cover and I looked in and I saw comb coming out of the inner cover, I thought, geez, they're not using that space down there, but they were. All of those frames that I waxed, you know, I had a couple people email and they were like, hey, are you sure that that big wax ball rubbing it on the frame works? And I still stand by it. In my opinion, it's really not as effective as rolling it on, because when you melt it and roll it on, you really get good, even coverage across the whole thing. And I don't get that exactly when I grab the big ball of foundation that I just made into a big waxing ball, but it does work. They've been actively working it in all of the hives. And I think two frames right now do have some of the comb where they've made the conscious decision to aggravate me and have drawn it off of the frame. But I have that happen all the time with any plastic foundation. It's really frustrating. This was supposed to be the year that I was going to all wax foundation for everything. And just as always, man, time gets away from you. Okay, so my upcoming actions for this hive, I'm going to remove the feeder on the next inspection. They've got plenty of nectar. They've got plenty of space for honey. They've got everything that they need in there. They don't need any more sugar junk. I am going to be assembling some frames as part of my how to assemble frames and how to assemble hive bodies section in the app that is rolling out next Tuesday, 28 April. So I'll take some of that newly assembled foundation and frame and get that into these brood spaces, and they'll appreciate that a bit more, I think, than the plastic. It is very possible, depending on what I see, that I might go ahead and add a second hive body to this. And again, this is an 8-frame deep right now. But I have a feeling that they are going to explode pretty quickly, and they are going to be behind their peers because the queen was caged for a little while longer. But all they did was they just kept working. So there is a ton of pollen, a ton of nectar. They've got almost a full frame side drawn out, packed full of honey or curing honey. So I think that queen is laying so fast that they're going to be doing quite well in about 2 weeks. Now, if you're wondering, the entrances on all of these hives is at the smallest setting. In fact, the nukes are actually a little bit larger than the bigger hives because my full-size hives are using the pre-made entrance reducers, whereas the nukes, it's just whatever piece of wood that I have laying around. So I have a lot of strips of 3/4 inch by 3/4 inch. I just grab a piece of it, grab the circular saw, take a guess, cut it, and I put that in front of the hive. So the nukes, I think, have about 1.5 inches, maybe even 2 inches on some of the nukes. But the full-size colonies are at that smallest, like 3/4 inch size. I'm going to be keeping it like that until I think it's problematic, and then we'll go to the next size up and we'll leave it like that. And I think probably late spring, early summer, I might just switch over to there's a video, I should put a link to that in this episode, but there is a video I put out about using No. 8 hardware cloth to make an entrance reducer. And this allows you to basically cut a couple of strips and you can kind of peel a section up, and now you have a nice little entrance. Everything else is restricted, but you still have some airflow. So we'll get a link to that in the description of this episode so you can check that video out.
This episode sponsored by IPVanish. IPVanish protects every device you own. Your phone, your laptop, your smart TV. If it connects to the internet, it should be protected. IPVanish encrypts your connection and masks your IP address, helping keep your browsing private at home and on public Wi-Fi. Stream with added privacy. Browse securely. Connect with confidence. Right now, save 83% off the 2-year plan. Get started today at ipvanish.com/audio and take control of your privacy with IPVanish. This episode sponsored by IPVanish. IPVanish protects every device you own. Your phone, your laptop, your smart TV. If it connects to the internet, it should be protected. IPVanish encrypts your connection and masks your IP address, helping keep your browsing private at home and on public Wi-Fi. Stream with added privacy. Browse securely. Connect with confidence. Right now, save 83% off the 2-year plan. Get started today at ipvanish.com/audio and take control of your privacy with IPVanish.
All right, so let's talk about some treatments. There are going to be two broad categories that we're going to be talking about. So you have your organic treatments and your synthetic chemical treatments. Most experienced beekeepers will tell you to have at least two options in your toolkit. One generally a bit more on the gentle side and another a bit more aggressive so that you can rotate those and avoid the resistance buildup in your mite population. So here we're going to do a bit of a rundown on some of the more commonly used options. The first one on the list here is oxalic acid. This would be commonly sold under the name apabioxal. Again, this is in the organic category. It's very gentle. This is probably one of the most widely used organic treatments right now. If you haven't checked it out, you probably remember Randy Oliver. We had him on for an episode about a year and a half or two ago. And God, Randy's a funny guy, man. He's a funny dude because he's just so just boom, boom, boom. This is how it is. There's no, what do you call it? I'm trying to find the right word for it. There's just no like joking around, messing around. He's all about business and really bright guy. But if you go to scientificbeekeeping.com, there is a tremendous amount of information there. Randy does a lot of research. He's out in California and he does a lot of research in the Varroa space, Nosema. So if you have any issues at all with Nosema, go look and read the articles and things he's published there on his site. And if you have a few extra dollars, by all means, you know, send him a few dollars, make a donation. Because like many of us, we rely on the support of others to fund all the things that we want to do in the beekeeping space. And he just does such a good job in so many ways, and especially with the Varroa side of things. But the reason I refer you to Randy is he goes through all the different methods. And the three primary ones you're probably going to hear are going to be the dribble method, the extended release pads, and then the one that a lot of people know about, which is just vaporization. But specifically on the dribble and extended release pads, that's Randy's the guy. You want to go to scientificbeekeeping.com, read up on that, and that's the right way to go. Because when you're doing those extended release pads, also known as like the OA pads, that's a 30-day thing you set inside the hive, and as the bees move across it, they are able to receive the treatment. One of the most important things to understand about oxalic acid in whatever form that you administer it is that it is only going to be effective against mites who are adult bees. It does not penetrate the cappings. So you can do all the treatments you want while your workers and drones are capped and they're pupating. But if there are already mites inside of those cappings and they are already feeding on that developing and pupating workers and drones, they aren't receiving treatment. This is why timing the application is really important. Now, I'm not going to dive too deep in. I'll tell you what happened just now is I got off on a tangent and I went for like 15 minutes just talking about all the oxalic acid stuff and all these treatment things and how to make a schedule. And I walked through day by day and then I realized, oh my gosh, we are in the overview thing. I can't put all that in here. So I literally just dropped about 15 minutes of me rambling about oxalic acid. But we can definitely dive into this deeper if you guys are like, hey man, I really need to know. I'm trying to set my schedule up and figure out what makes the most sense. Let me know. We can dive into that. But outside of that, if you have the ability to time it to a broodless period, like I'm about to have a dearth in mid-June, around that time frame, I'm going to be hitting it pretty heavy to make sure I'm knocking everything down as we roll into the fall flow like I discussed yesterday. But vaporization is probably the most popular delivery method. It is approved for use with Honey Supers on whichever method you would choose on that. Next, we're going to go into formic acid. One of the more common options you can purchase is Formic Pro. This is still in the organic category. This is a bit more aggressive. The big advantage to formic acid over oxalic acid is that it does penetrate into the capped brood. So you're going to basically do that treatment and you're getting everything. Capped, uncapped, doesn't matter. You're going to get the entire colony treated at one time. It is delivered via strips and it is temperature sensitive. You need to make sure you are using this within the approved temperature window. I'm pretty sure it's 50 to 85 Fahrenheit. Now, I'm going to say this again. you need to make sure you are operating within the approved temperature window for this. This is really important. If you're below that temperature threshold, it's less of an issue, but you're going to lose the effectiveness. That's the real problem, being lower than that minimum temperature. But if it gets above that, it can be very harmful to the entire colony. And queens seem to really suffer a lot with formic treatments. If that temperature gets well above, you know, that range, I've seen half a colony go away. I've seen queens die. I have seen them stop laying for several weeks. It's really, really disruptive. And with the temperature, also keep in mind the recommendations on the ventilation. I think they're going to tell you to close up the bottom board, but fully open the entrance. They need to be able to pull that air in and move the air. So it is a bit more temperamental in the sense that you got to make sure you're following the directions, but it is highly effective. I have had colonies before where I'm using oxalic acid and then my mite counts are maybe slightly dropping or staying relatively steady. So I'm not getting an explosive increase, but I'm not really knocking them down the way I want. And I brought some formic in and it just knocks it out. I mean, it is very, very effective. So definitely something to keep in mind. You can treat with honey superzone using formic acid. So next on the list, we're going to have Ametraz, commonly sold as Apivar. This will be a synthetic and it is considered to be a bit more aggressive. Apivar strips will hang in between the frames. I feel like it used to be 4 weeks and then it went to 6 weeks. You just read the package and whatever it says on there, use that. I haven't used it in several years, but the trick with it is it's got this kind of odd little tag that comes off of it that you can sort of hang it in between two frames. But I found that if you just kind of run a toothpick through that little hole, that works pretty well to hold it between two frames. But what you're going to be doing is putting those down into the brood space. And as the bees are moving through that brood space, they're going to receive the treatment. I used this for several years. It was very effective. I was very pleased with the results of it. I would say the worst thing that I did is I didn't read the directions. Like I took a glance at it, like, oh, okay, 4 to 6 weeks or whatever. And then I just grabbed them out and put them in the hive. Like you're not supposed to be handling those. You put some gloves on, protect your fingers. But the big concern with Apivar, which is a reason that it's not as part of my backup plan anymore or a number two, number three for me, is even though it was so effective for so long, when you look back to that 2024 or 2025 season, it was blamed as being one of the big causes for the, I don't know what it was, 50, 60% losses that we saw in the 2024, 2025 season. There is a reported resistance to Ametraz, which is the main ingredient in Apivar. Now, in my opinion, I still believe that it is a valid and viable solution for a beekeeper today. But I think it's really important to make sure that you are still monitoring and you're still keeping track of things. If you are kind of very hands-off and you're like, I'll do the treatments, but I'm not doing the washes, then I wouldn't recommend the solution because you're not going to know if your bees have any resistance. But if you are closely monitoring and you're doing your washes and you're finding that it's not knocking them down, you are absolutely going to have to bring something else in. But this, in my opinion, even if there is some resistance, I still think you could bring this in as your number two. You know, you could be going back and forth with this and something else. Have not tested that. Not really sure. If you're brand new, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it, because it was really effective for so long, I would not use it. The other thing, too, is you can't use it with honey supers on. And that was always a really challenging thing for me because I would try to get them on at the very earliest time that I possibly could, at like late February. And then I would run them through the entire month of March. And then I didn't get my honey supers on until early April. And that was okay if I was on the ball. But you guys know how I am. I have ideas, thoughts, plans. And I have a schedule in my mind of how it's going to work. And it always does work. It's just like 8 to 12 weeks behind. So that was always a challenge to work around that constraint. Next, we're going to have Thymol, commonly known as Apigar, being one of the products that is in the Thymol category. Now, if you really want to aggravate people in the bee community, it's thymed, like the spice thyme, but just call it Thymol. That really, really aggravates the heck out of people. And you're like, yeah, I love Thymol. It's really good. And they're going to go, no, it's Thymol. And you're like, no, it's T-H-Y, Thymol. So again, if you like to aggravate people, that's always a fun little thing you can do there. But this kind of falls into like a moderate category. You know, it's pretty good, pretty effective. It is a gel tray that kind of sits on top of the frames. It too is temperature sensitive, and it does need to be used at temps above 60 Fahrenheit, which is going to be, I'm guessing, about 16, 17, maybe Celsius. But you want to have it in that temperature range for it to work as effectively as possible. Now, I've heard some beekeepers, it's kind of a common claim that when using ApiGuard, the bees will tend to beard a bit more, or they might be a little bit more agitated during treatment. This is a normal documented thing, so don't worry about that. Once the treatment is done, things usually return back to normal fairly quickly. This is not approved for use with honey supers, so again, a thing to really consider with your timing. But like myself, where I've get, you know, a 6 to 9 week, whatever it is, dearth, you know, that's a great time to use something like this during that period of time when they're not raising brood. And next on the list are hop beta acids. More commonly, you would see HopGuard. This is an organic, also falling into that gentle category. HopGuard is a strip-based treatment that you would hang in between the frames. So it's going to work by contact. The bees are going to walk across the strips. They're going to pick up the hop beta acids, which will then affect the mites that are feeding on them. It does not penetrate the capped brood. So very much like oxalic acid, your timing is going to be important on these, but it is definitely one of the gentler options available. The efficacy on these is a bit limited compared to some of the others, but it does have a really good safety profile. It is approved for use with honey supers present. And because of the way that it's working kind of through a completely different mechanism than everything else, it has a place where it can earn its spot within the rotation. But again, you got to figure out what's going to work best for you. Now, before I tell you my two go-to treatments, I do want to make sure that I'm really clear as the most trusted voice in beekeeping today. These are all regulated products. Technically speaking, the label is the law. Just because you can buy oxalic acid on Amazon from Florida Laboratories for a really fair price, allegedly, that doesn't mean that that's what you should do. Because remember that the specially approved brands have been through rigorous government regulatory consideration. And thank God they were there for you to make sure that you got exactly what your bees needed. But in all seriousness, follow the directions. Only use things that are approved for use on honeybees. Yes, you can go and get things from, like I jokingly mentioned, on Amazon or Home Depot. You can get the same thing, but if you're using it on the bees, you're breaking the law. And I don't want you to get in trouble. And it's one of those things where, can you do it and get away with it forever? Probably. But you just don't know. Like, you might have a situation where you have an inspector who comes out as part of a normal process of what you're doing within your apiary. Even as a small-time beekeeper, a lot of places are regulating things in such a way that require you to have an inspection. You don't want to be sitting there with your big bag of wood bleach from Home Depot and Lowe's or you know, Menards or what is it, Canadian Tire. Like, you don't want to be getting that kind of stuff and getting caught using it, because when you look at how much money you're going to save, it's probably not going to be that much compared to what it looks like when you get in trouble for using things that you're not allowed to use. So definitely don't put yourself in a bad situation. Use the things that are approved. Follow the EPA guidelines and guidance, and just keep yourself out of trouble. And please pay attention to a lot of the temperature ranges on these things, because they've done a lot of testing with these and they know where things are effective and where they become not necessarily dangerous to you, but, you know, dangerous to the health and well-being of the bees. So pay attention to those. Read the directions and do your best to follow them as closely as possible. Pay attention to the weather. I think like Formic is a good example of that. They'll give you a temperature range, but it's like that first 3 days is the most important. Okay, my two treatments, if you haven't figured out, it's oxalic acid vaporization and Formic Pro. OA is like my go-to for 95% of the time, but when things do get a little bit wild, I can switch over from semi-auto to full auto, and I go with the Formic Pro. I really don't need to use Formic that often because I have the benefit of that mid-season brood break. But if I end up relocating my bees down to the country to get a little fresh air and some better forage this summer, late spring, I'm going to need to have a good handle on Varroa early. And Formic has a way of doing that. But please, please, please don't mess around with the temperature range on that one. Like I said, I've had really good results with it. I've followed the directions when using that because I know of all of the horror stories of it. And I think pretty much everybody who's had a problem at least that they've brought to me, we've figured out like, oh, the ventilation wasn't right. Temperature range wasn't right. There was too much. There's usually some kind of a reason behind it. So when you're considering which one you want to go with, my recommendation is to first start off with asking people that are near you, that are local to you. What are you using? If you have a mentor, great, start there. B Club, another good place. But don't stop by just saying, hey, what are you using? Ask them about administration details like, oh, well, how long do you treat with that? Or does it require successive treatments? Things like that. And the first reason for that is you want to make sure you have some idea of what they're talking about. Dig a little bit deeper to see if you can get some more information. And number two, if the treatment is half the cost of a competing product, but you have to use it three times as much, that doesn't really represent a cost savings for you. So that's one kind of element to things. Now, a common question that comes up, and this is another consideration I think you need to make, and it's going to be, what are your feelings about organics versus chemical treatments? That's a big thing. I prefer to stay on the organic side as much as I can. That's my preference. But the next thing is the question of that is people will say, hey, look, I've got this colony fully set up. I've got this many hive bodies. This is the configuration. I'm not taking honey in year one because Jeff recommends that I don't do that so I can document how much honey they gather and see how much is left over in the spring, and then I'll know how much I can take without having to feed too much or whatever your strategy might be. But if I treat with a non-honey super safe treatment this year, can I use that honey super for consumable honey next year? And the answer I have seen with everything has always been yes. The treatments aren't persistent. And once you treat and then everything has an opportunity to clear out, the honey supers are then safe to be used in the future. Now, what I'm going to tell you is check everything before you implement that strategy, because sometimes things change. Sometimes the data changes and they readjust their position. So by the time you're listening to this, that position or that statement or that the accuracy of that may not be accurate anymore. As of right now, every treatment that I am personally aware of and that I have used, you're fine to treat with honey supers on that you are not using for human consumption right now, but you could use them the next season, 6 months later, whatever it might be. And remember that nothing is cheap anymore, but as I've said many times, figuring out the strategy is going to be something that you want to do early on because it really plays into everything that we do in the apiary. For example, most treatments are based on brood chambers or the number of brood boxes. So if you've got a double deep brood box, you're getting twice as much or you're using twice as much treatment as you would if you were based on a single brood chamber solution. If you decide, let's say you're using double deeps and that's your brood space and you have four colonies and then you want to go ahead and do your spring splits so you can have eight, well, that's cool. But by the end of the season, you've got twice as many units of treatment because there you have two double deeps, and then you're doubling that times two is 16. So you went, you had a significant increase in how much money you're going to have to spend to keep them all treated under that particular solution. Now, again, this is what shifted me over to the oxalic acid side of things because the vaporization is a pretty quick, simple, easy process to do. I think it's even less than 10 cents. I feel like I did the math to around 7 cents per treatment, something like that. I just rounded it up to 10. But at 10 cents per treatment and on a double or even more larger space, you may, double that number. It might be 14 or 15 cents per treatment, but it's really, really cheap in the grand scheme of things. But when you start doing some of that math, it can really take the wind out of your sails. And I would much rather you have one or two really healthy colonies that are getting all of the treatment that they need versus having 15 or 20 colonies and you have this massive expansion and everything looks really super exciting. And then you have to watch all these bees die a really slow, painful death. That's definitely not good. Okay, don't forget tomorrow we are wrapping up the week talking about Norroa, N-O-R-R-O-A. That's kind of the new kid on the block in the Varroa space. So please tune your podcast dial to the Beekeeping for Newbies channel again tomorrow. We are going to be live at the exact same time, so don't forget to tune in. The link is in the description. If you found any value in this and you'd like to grab a cup of coffee with me, I certainly appreciate that. Also, don't forget that the new app rolls out on 28 April, and there may or may not be a significant limited time discount. More to follow on that next week. Take care, be kind to one another, and remember that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
This episode sponsored by IPVanish. IPVanish protects every device you own. your phone, your laptop, your smart TV, if it connects to the internet, it should be protected. IPVanish encrypts your connection and masks your IP address, helping keep your browsing private at home and on public Wi-Fi. Stream with added privacy. Browse securely. Connect with confidence. Right now, save 83% off the 2-year plan. Get started today at ipvanish.com/audio and take control of your privacy with IPVanish.
I know how intimidating beekeeping can be, especially in those first couple of years, and not knowing what you need, what to do, or where to find help can be downright scary. That's why I created the AI-assisted Beekeeping for Newbies mobile app to be right there with you as you start your beekeeping journey. Loaded up with checklists, guides, and one of my favorites, a bunch of queen bee photos to help you get better at locating them during inspections. I created this app to provide you with a single source to help jumpstart your learning and make you a better beekeeper. Go to studio.com/beekeeper. That's studio.com/beekeeper to take advantage of a limited time 20% off launch special.